Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Triforce. Bad news for you. Flax is sick.
But I'm trooping it.
He's trooping it, buddy. He's trooping
it. What kind of sick are you? Is it the kind of sickness you just get?
Both ends. Let me guess. Both ends.
Well, let me tell you something. Monday, my youngest daughter is complaining. This is on actually Sunday evening. Sunday evening, she's
toddler snottiness. Yeah. Well, that's
not,
what you've got.
They're not toddlers.
You gotta watch out when they barf though, because sometimes it means chicken pox.
Sunday night, they both had chicken pox, as have I, so it's not that. So Sunday night, my daughter, my youngest, is saying, like, she's like, I'm hungry. So I give her dinner and she takes one look at it. It was lasagna. It was delicious. It was an amazing lasagna. I serve it up to her. She takes one look at it and goes, I don't feel very well. I said, you're just saying that because you don't want to eat lasagna. You've suddenly decided you don't want it. So
it's more that she doesn't want to eat. She doesn't trust it, your cooking.
Well, let me tell you.
She doesn't like fine Italian cuisine.
She really doesn't. So she takes a couple of mouthfuls. 10 minutes later, she's sick. I was like, God damn it. She wasn't lying. Like, I was like, I'm going to send you to your room with no dessert if you lie to me again about having a sore stomach. She actually did have a sore stomach. I said to her, how did it come on exactly when you're eating a dinner that you don't really want to eat? Like, they pull all kinds of shit like that.
Oh, man.
So it turns out I was
wrong. What's going
to
happen?
She has to spend the next day off school. What?
In like 30 years, she's going to be on a talk show because she's going to be like rich and famous one day, I'm guessing. And she's going to break down crying. She's going to be like, and then one time, my dad served me lasagna.
Delicious lasagna.
I had a sore stomach and he forced me to eat it.
That's exactly it.
I puked everywhere. And it was that day that I knew that if I did cure baldness one day, because I'm a Nobel Prize winning scientist, I'd never let him have that cure.
God.
I mean, it would always be bald. Listen, Flax.
That's right.
I feel like I need to make amends because last week on the Triforce podcast, I don't know if you listened to it, ladies and gentlemen, but I was saying that people who fold their shirts and put them in their drawers need to get a life. And and I only realized after the podcast was done that whole thing was prompted by Flax telling a story about his wife doing that. And
right.
I'm pretty sure Flax's wife listens to this, or at least that's what Flax says.
She does. Yeah, she does.
So I'm just saying, Flax's wife, if you're listening,
get a life.
No,
for God's sake.
I didn't mean you. I meant everyone else. Okay, please don't hate me.
Let me start with an apology as well, because we've already been going 2 minutes, and I've already called Flax bald. I've questioned his parenting, and
I'm not feeling well.
I'm sorry, Flax. I love you, man. You know, and I haven't provided any sympathy because he's not very well today. So I'm sorry, dude.
That's all right.
Like, fucking respect.
So look, last couple, middle of the week, everything was all right. And then I started to feel a bit peaky last night. And I was like, God, I hope I'm not coming down with something. And my stomach was aching. And I thought, God damn it. I've caught whatever my youngest had. So my eldest is she's made of iron. She never seems to get sick. It's about midnight. I'm just about to go to bed. I didn't bother streaming last night because I wasn't feeling well. Suddenly my daughter starts screaming from, I've been sick.
Oh, no.
She hates sick. The smell of it, other people being sick. It doesn't bother me, honestly. It's just one of those things.
Except for those people who get off on it, though. Have you ever seen those barfing people who
God. Yeah, it's horrible.
Have sex with each other in barf and stuff?
Yeah, I'm not going to get that far, all right?
No.
Obviously, it just doesn't bother me.
I'm not saying that your daughter is going to be into that either. I'm just, right. you know, it's just
she was sick all over her pillow, all over her duvet. So I, and she's it's all over her. So she's just standing in the bathroom weeping. So I was like, I had to clean her up.
Now.
Yeah, I know. I had to clean her off. I'm feeling ill and I'm feeling more sick because I'm around this sick. So like, oh, so I just bundled up all her bedding, took it downstairs and cleaned it off.
Just bonfired the whole
thing. Yeah. It was so tempting.
You gotta burn it, yeah.
And then I made her sleep in a sleeping
bag.
Dad's
having a bonfire again.
Yeah. Dad, where's my duvet?
Burn it. It's ashes.
It's on fire outside.
It's been sullied with your vomit. Mm. So I made her sleep on the sofa in a sleeping bag, and she seems fine. Like, she honestly seems fine. But you can't take them into school 24 hours after they've been sick.
I can't sleep in a sleeping bag. I need to have, like, it's too confined. I need to, like, stick a leg out of my duvet from time to time.
Yeah,
or sometimes
no,
just my
same.
Foot or something. Yeah. You know, like, if I'm all wrapped up like that, it's no good. I can't
she
do it.
She loves it. She loves it. But yeah, so she's off school today. Very kindly, one of the other mums took my youngest in because she's in the same class. So I didn't even have, I'm not going to leave the house. She's going to bring her back as well. I just feel shit. This reminds me of when I came back from China last year and I was sick for like 3 fucking weeks. It feels like flu, to be honest with you. But there's a Dota 2 major going on right now in Chongqing or Chongqing in rural China. And my mate is there, and he was telling me that one of the problems they've got is getting food, because it's just not a place that caters to Western food at all.
What?
So that
They've got food, but it's very Chinese food.
It's in the middle of, like, the country. If you look, it's Chongqing. So it's like Chongqing, I think it's pronounced.
I swear by packed lunches. Like, you have to have...
Yeah, you can't take 2 weeks worth of packed lunches, though, can you?
You can. If you're organized, you can.
Okay, I'll make that point to my friend. But he said that the only food they've been given is KFC every day. They're like, this is all we've got. It's either that or the local cuisine. And he said, well, what's wrong with the local food?
What's he complaining about?
Right, here's the thing.
Some people would kill for that.
Every day. Yeah. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, KFC. It's a limited
menu.
Oh my God,
it sounds like a dream.
Well, you can't eat that, Sips. You'd have the chips. That was the thing. KFC chips.
Oh my God, you just have the runs every goddamn day.
But this is the problem. The food is so spicy. That's the local food. It's like, it's not just spicy. It's like, it will kill you spicy. You know, if you're not used to it and you're some Westerner, you're just going to shit your heart out.
Well, they've got to do it. I think
they've lit two of the pros have died already and they're burning them just in the streets.
Four of them are in hospital. Whoa. Two pros have come down sick and 4 people in total have been into hospital.
Okay, I was joking.
Yeah,
about
I know.
That,
no, they literally have. One of the teams, the player that they had that was standing in for them, is sick in hospital with like food poisoning, and all the spicy food is too much for people, and they're just getting ill. It's one of the 10 most polluted places in the world, and they're
not just that. I think that region of the world is also it's like all root vegetables, right? And they're so bland, you have to spice them up somehow.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Well. First of all, like my current food I'm eating is almost all vegetables, right?
Here it comes.
So I don't know.
Set your alarms for 3 minutes' time, listeners, because Lewis will
just
stop.
Give me a fucking plate of
vegetables.
We'll
stop talking about vegetables in 3 minutes.
I want to know more about this.
What do you mean almost vegetables? What else have you been eating? I'm intrigued.
Well, like some like oatmeal and stuff, and things like some soup.
Oh, okay. There are no vegetables in that.
There's a good mix.
A lot of
stuff,
people have pointed out that you're attempting, Lewis, to subvert the cause of us meat eaters by constantly referencing how bad it is for people and banging on about veganism.
Well, no, but I'm wondering, like, for me and Sips though, like KFC wouldn't cut it. We'd have to have the local
food. You could eat the chips, and they do
but
milkshakes there too.
You can't eat chips and milkshakes
for
2 weeks.
You could, but
I mean, I do eat a lot of chips, to be fair.
And drink a lot of milkshakes, too.
Where do you get those chips?
Various places.
Really?
You know,
just chips.
Not just chips. not just chips.
That's their advert, actually. They do a TV advert. We can't have just chips. Yes, we can. At Just Chips. Come on down.
Come on not down. Just chips.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so I want to know, like, what... I don't know what this Chinese food is so bad. Like,
it's just incredibly spicy.
It's killing people as well.
No, it's just like imagine if you have a really strong curry, or really, really spicy food in general.
I like really spicy
food. I know.
I have a lot of really spicy food.
I know.
Food.
And you and I both think we'd be fine, right? You both think, we'd be fine.
Yeah, I think I'd be
you
fine.
You would not. Like, literally, I've heard unbelievable things about just how spicy this stuff is. Like, this, they serve it. I'm sure someone in the comments will be able to explain it better than I do, but it's so spicy that if you are not accustomed to it, it's not just a question of, oh, that's got some spice to it. This is like, oh my God, I'm dying levels
of spice.
Yeah,
you have to build up like a tolerance to it over time.
From birth. Before they cut the umbilical cord, they're shoving chilies in the baby's mouth.
It's called Hot Pot City, apparently.
The problem with really spicy food is that it would make me sweat a lot, right? And because I have a gigantic forehead, you would be able to see every single bead of sweat. That would destroy my street cred. So
yeah.
I don't think I can go to China, which is a shame,
Old sweaty sips.
Yeah.
Drips. They call you drips.
To get me all sweaty on the spicy hot food. No, thanks. Oh, I'll just stick to the bland food that doesn't make me sweat.
Like chips and milkshakes.
Here's the things, right? Here's the suggestions for the hot pot. Well, first of all, it says here, Hot Pot City, over 50,000 restaurants, you know, with like every other shopfront has a neon flame on it and a sack of chilies by the door, right?
Right.
That's downtown Chongqing.
I think it's Chongqing, by the way, which is interesting because there was a huge hullabaloo ahead of this major when, I don't know, some player basically used the racial epithet Ching Chong in a game.
Oh my God.
And this was serious business. And you know, this was like Valve stepped in, like it was a big fucking to-do. Players getting banned, players getting stepped aside, or, you know, all the rest of it, an organization. If you're listening to this and you want to know more, go ahead and look it up. But the fact that they called it the major is in a place called Chongqing after this drama that's about Ching Chong was not lost to me. And I thought, if I go out there, I'm going to get horribly sick. And I'm also, at some point, I'm going to say Ching Chong because the place is called Chongqing. Like, it's going to happen. Someone's going to misspeak at some point because it's so close. And you're thinking, don't say it, because it's this huge drama. I was terrified. Oh, that was God. One of the many reasons I didn't go.
That was factored into your decision to going out there, was it? The fact that it was just called something slightly racist, you were worried that you might accidentally slip.
I'm terrified of that. Like, I'm seriously... That's career-ending if you accidentally say something like that. In China as well, it'd be like, I'd be so mortified. And the fact is that, oh my God, I just couldn't deal with it. It would be awful. It would be awful.
Let's just hope that they never have a major in Niger then, right?
The African major.
Well, you never know. I mean...
God. My God.
I think it's pronounced... anyway.
It's Niger, isn't it?
Yeah. It's French, isn't it? So anyway, the hot pot, right? Okay. So they're really spicy, and they have the popular things that are thrown in are pork pig intestines, pig's blood, duck intestine, Chinese sausage. That's very kind of broad,
Jesus
isn't it?
Christ. I ain't going for that on the menu. I'll tell you what. Do you have anything in, say, some rocks or some dirt? Because I would eat those. Ahead of the mysterious Chinese sausage, because you've already listed guts.
Why do they use all that stuff? It's crazy, like
pig's blood,
seagull testicles, and like what the fuck? Just eat the
fucking. But dude, what are they hiding in the sausage?
Everyone else does, like Christ Almighty.
They're telling you what's in everything else. This is
some
guts.
Cat anus.
This is blood. This is cat butt. Oh, but there's also a sausage. What's in the sausage? Nothing. Nothing for you to worry about. Just eat the sausage.
It's just a mix of guts. So, I mean, it's spicy for your guts, I guess, as well. Maybe that's the point. Like, I don't know. Maybe they think that by, you know, eating other animals' guts, it will strengthen your own guts against the super spicy.
That's how it works.
So it says here, blah, blah, blah. You'll be asked a series of questions when you walk into a hot pot joint. You can describe the type of broth, the level of heat, what kind of oil you want. There you go. If you can't speak Chinese, why not just point to what other people are eating? How's that going to help? How's that going to help you? This advice is terrible.
That is absolutely shocking advice. I'll have what he's having. And the camera pans over to a dude, bright red, sweating, with a T-shirt that says Chili Master, but in Chinese, so you don't know. And he's there to set the national record for eating the spiciest food in the world. And you say, I'll have what he's having, please. This guy over here. The guy looks like he's dying. That's dangerous advice.
It's I mean, okay. There's got to be more. There's got to be more stuff here. Well, the thing is, though, I remember going to like Singapore and Japan, and there was like Chinese breakfasts there quite commonly, and in fact, also in some of the American cities, in like where they got a big Chinese community, like Vancouver and Seattle. We have
Vancouver
is
like 50%, like, but yeah.
There's like the Chinese breakfast at the buffet in the morning, and it's pretty weird. It's pretty like
a lot of porridge. A lot of light cheese.
Yeah, it's quite
a lot of soups.
It's quite a lot of flavors that we're not used
to.
Yeah,
there are.
Yeah,
like their version of sweet things is not sweet to a Western palate, I would suggest. Like I've had a friend of ours is Vietnamese, and she was like, "Try this fruit; it's so sweet and delicious." And I tried it, and it just didn't taste of anything. Like it was just super bland, and I was like, "This is this precious sweet dessert fruit." I was like, "Damn!" Like it's literally a palate difference. So I was like, this is not fruit. Like, this doesn't taste like a fruit at all. She was like, isn't it sweet? It's so sweet. I was like, no, it just tastes like shit.
Wow.
So actually, I think it's just a, yeah, it's just a palate difference thing.
I want to know more about the Chongqing. I think it's the place is called, pronounced as Chongqing, what it used to be, you know, because we used to have anglicized words for everything when we went over there and we called them. Well, no, it doesn't matter what you're calling it. We're going to call it this.
We're more comfortable
like,
with Chongqing.
Bombay, right?
Bombay.
Yeah.
No, we're going to call it Bombay. There you go.
That's easier for us to remember. Name it after something of ours.
Yeah.
No, so it's like totally. I do you have any more stories from China or the Dota Major? So what's going on at the moment? I'm interested in getting the inside
track.
We
went to Seattle for, I think it was TI4. The hotel was tasked with laying on breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all the players, right? Because we're all staying at the same hotel. All the players and all the talent were all staying at the same hotel. So pretty much there was like half the teams were Western teams and half the teams were from either China or Southeast Asia. So the hotel was not used to catering for that many people from Asia. So their answer for lunchtime was a huge platter of rice. That's it. There was literally, you walked in there and there was a huge, huge thing of rice. That was it. Like there was no actual food. It would be like saying, oh yeah, you're from the West, aren't you? Here's your food, chips and milkshake. Like literally that's it.
Like heaven.
So they literally went and got takeaway every day. Wow. Like they'd find a Chinese place and they'd order a huge buffet and all the Chinese players would sit around a series of tables eating what looked like amazing food. But I thought it was really insulting.
Do you not think that's like, imagine like a big Chinese delegation had visited Italy, right?
Yeah.
And they were like totally overwhelmed. And so what they did was they only cooked a massive tray of pasta.
Right.
And they put that out at lunch.
Well, like
right?
One of those ones that you get at Pizza Hut. Like it's just like a big pasta bake tray.
Right.
Looks like it's been
but
microwaved.
It should just be dry pasta because they'd be like, oh, they're lactose intolerant, right? Or whatever. We can't put cheese on it. So it's just going to be, it's just going to be dry pasta. They can eat that.
Yeah,
right?
They love that. That's what they
eat.
We've
got loads of it.
Yeah. No, so that was kind of embarrassing. It's weird. A lot of the time, the food that you get is just, it's very variable. Like, you go to some events and the food is, like, amazing. You go to other events and the food is just terrible. But it's really tricky for these organizations who are, like, if you're a Chinese organization based in China, you've never had to deal with catering for Western players and talent. So it's like, what do they eat? It's just not like in the middle of rural China. Just like if I went to the middle of the fucking Midwest in America, I doubt I'm going to find a cracking hot pot place. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you're going to get steak and
grits,
hamburgers and grits, maybe gravy, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, that's more of a Southern thing, honestly. Rather
country
than
gravy.
Exactly.
It's like gray
white
gravy.
Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Oh, it's so gross.
Catering for people has also become an absolute fucking nightmare because of people like me. You know, because like I'm allergic to all sorts of shit and I'm a pain in the ass. And it never used to, I think it did used to be a bit like it. Well, I used to work as like a waiter back when I was like 15, 16. I worked at like a country house thing and they had a lot of weddings there. And every weekend they would have like two weddings on Friday, two weddings on Saturday, and two weddings on
Good
Sunday
Lord.
Kind of thing. And it would be a very much a profitable thing that they'd bring these people. It would be very the same every time. We had these big conference rooms. We'd get the wedding in. They'd get their meals and blah, blah, blah. And we'd do everything. And it would be crazy. Sometimes there'd be like multiple weddings going on in like different areas as well. But we had a very like sort of very standardized menu that they'd obviously picked. And you know, some, there were obviously some vegetarians, I'm sure they got something different, you know, instead of a tray of melon and ham, they got a tray of melon and carrots or whatever, you know, because these were back in the days when people, we were literally serving Parma ham, or I think it's not even allowed to be called that anymore because it's like cooked ham. Mm. Because it's one of those plates, things from Parma, like Melton Mowbray pork pies. It's like a specialised thing. And so that, I remember we just, everyone got a piece of meat and we served the vegetables and it was all very like shit and very, very standardised, right? And you got what you got. And there wasn't like a lot of kind of complaining about it, but Martin's getting married soon. And I was just thinking about his wedding and they're going to have to cater for all sorts of people, and what a fiddle, everyone's allergic to nuts,
yeah,
and, oh, I can't eat this, I'm gluten intolerant, and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's like hundreds of
dietary requirements. That's why I don't think you bother with any of that. Like, fuck, I've been to plenty of things before where it's been catered, but I barely ever eat like at those places, you know what I mean? Like, I don't depend on that meal in my day. Like, I usually just eat, you know, here and there or at home before I leave or something like that. So I'm not actually hungry when I turn up to an event or something like that. So it doesn't matter what they're serving. I'm probably not going to eat it anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know why people bother serving food at these events. Like it's completely unnecessary. Just go to the wedding, say congratulations, have a couple of beers, do a dance and go home. Like, you don't need to eat as well. It's what the fuck? It's crazy. Yeah. Just eat at home.
Eat at home.
And then whatever your fucking crazy ass diet requirements are, you don't have to burden anyone else with them. Just fucking go home and eat your whatever and... I don't know what you eat. Cheese whiz on toast or fucking whatever. You know? Nobody cares. Just fucking eat it and shut up and stop bugging everybody. Christ. It drives me nuts. I mean, I've got dietary requirements. I don't burden anybody with them. Like, fucking, no. I just won't eat. I don't care. Who cares?
I do wonder what people did 30 years ago or so. Like, I hate to go on about the past, but I remember at school there was like one kid that was allergic to everything.
Yeah.
And he never got to eat anything. Like, if we had a snack at kindergarten, he didn't get shit. You know, he had to bring his own stuff in. And I feel like people decided that it was everyone else's problem instead of just bringing your own shit with you. Like, the kid brought his own stuff. His mum would bring his own snack.
You see this all the time, though. Like, yeah. I had some, like, friends from India and China, and they constantly, when they come and visit here, they bring with them, like, a suitcase full of fucking ingredients.
Yeah. But, I mean, they can't find that stuff over here easily, and that's the kind of stuff they want to eat, so good for them. Like, I mean, if that's...
Bring your own.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's good. It's like proactive. Yeah.
Bring your own, goddammit.
Every time we go somewhere that is like, it used to be to things like gaming events. Like, we went to play Dawn of War 2, 3, the newest one that didn't do very well. We went to see that and went to the offices and they were like, oh yeah, we got you some lunch, guys. Don't worry. It's like, okay, cool. And we're in like, you know, like this swanky place. It's like in the middle of the swanky stitch. There's like artisan coffee shops and vegan smoothie places downstairs. And they bring us like Domino's and like, you know, fucking Krispy Kremes. And
gamer
like,
fuel.
Like Monster Energy.
Where's the Mountain Dew and Cheetos? That's what my people consume.
We're just man children.
Oh my God.
Look, I'm just gonna interrupt because I found this sentence very funny. I was reading a news story today because, you know, I went on a cruise last summer, so I kind of read about cruises all the time.
Yeah.
First of all, the ship that we were on a couple of weeks ago had a norovirus outbreak, and everybody was shitting themselves on the ship. We were lucky to avoid that.
Norovirus is fucking horrible. Winter vomiting virus. Yeah, it's what I knew it
as. So here you go. Bobby and Mary Jackson, aged 64 and 62, from County Antrim, Northern Ireland, were offered £200 each off their next journey with Norwegian Cruise Line. This is because they found a man and a woman having sex in their cabin. Now, here's what Mrs. Jackson told the Sunday Post. I was traumatized and I needed a glass of water. She walks in on two people having sex. She's like, oh my God, get me a glass of water.
Wait,
right
how
away.
Did that happen, though?
What? They were just, the crew, a pair of the crew were fucking in their cabin. I guess they figured there was no
the
one in there.
Oh, the crew, okay. Whoa.
But you walk in, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Fair play.
If I've seen something shocking, I'm not relating that to you by saying, oh my God, I was so shocked. I had to have a glass of water. Like, that's not going to You know what I mean? Like, the, to man, me, that is not evidence.
What a life that is.
What, having sex in someone else's
fucking
cabin?
Fucking somebody in a cabin on a cruise ship. How do they do it? How does that even come about? What, you just like, it just, there's just a big lead up of working on a cruise ship to having sex in somebody else's cabin?
I guess, you know, let's say they really liked each other. Yeah. And then if the man is able to achieve an erection, he can put it in the woman's vagina and then they have sex. Right. It doesn't really matter where, it just happens.
No, I know. It's just, it just seems, it's, I'm saying like, What an exciting life that's the kind of stuff you get up to. Like, I
think it's a little bit like being in prison on a cruise liner, though. You know, you get, like, you're trapped there for, like, you sign up for this cruise, and you're stuck on board this flipping thing for ages out at sea, and sure, you have a few nights off and you get drunk, you get chatting with one of the cleaning people, and they're like, oh, I think room suite 606 is free. Why do you want to pop around
there?
Yeah,
all this shit goes on all the time. I mean, men and women in close proximity at sea.
Didn't you have like a thing where, didn't you tell me a story about how, I'm sure it was on this podcast, where you checked into your hotel room and you walked up and you got the key and you went upstairs and you opened the door and there was like a naked man there in the room and he didn't see you.
Nice.
No.
And then you closed the door.
This hotel knows me so well.
It was not me.
Thank you very much, guys.
I have never heard that story before in my life.
What a lovely present. I think he was like facing away. So the guy didn't even see them open the door and they went down and were like, there's a man in my room, and they're like, oh shit, I gave you the wrong fucking room, I'm sorry.
Oh my god, no, that was not me. God. That sounds
Can you
horrific.
Imagine that happened to you though? Imagine you're like, you get into your hotel room and you like place all your lube up on the dresser and you put out your special anime blanket on the floor and you're just like rubbing down, you're getting ready to put on some anime on the TV with the Chromecast built in and stuff, and you know, you got some music on in the back room, and then somebody just fucking barges in and they're like, oh shit, they gave me the wrong key.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I was just lubing up here. Getting ready to go.
Like, well, when I was in
what kind of compensation would you get for that?
Because
that's,
no, I don't
like,
know. Like, I the dude almost walked in on me in my pajamas in Romania. When I was in the hotel, he was coming to... You know what, hotels are obsessed with a couple of things. One of them is when you check out, like they want you out the fucking door ASAP. Yeah. The other thing they're obsessed with is the minibar. So I had a couple of beers in the minibar the previous night, never like that. And I'm chilling there. I don't have to go in till quite late in the day. So I'm chilling in my hotel room. I'm playing video games on my laptop, maybe watching Netflix. I'm just there in my pajamas and I'm thinking, shit, maybe I'll have a nap. So, because I was fucking exhausted. So I go to get in my bed and... there's this fucking dude just there and he's just opened the door and come in. He goes, minibar. I was like, dude, you just walking in, like no knock, nothing. He just barges in and shouts minibar. I couldn't believe it.
What if you were in the middle of strangling yourself while masturbating
exactly.
to anime porn? I mean,
some
geez.
Autoerotic asphyxiation is going on. Excuse me.
I think he's a perf.
Oh.
I think he is.
Oh, you
a guy
think he
does
this on purpose, like to see
as an and he just
he's
uses
got a
the
GoPro
as
on as well.
Right, as soon as you, this is what people do. It's a psychological thing. Mm. People get like they find a little trick in their head, like, oh, I can perv on people if I bust into their room and say minibar, and that's my little excuse.
Yeah,
you know, it's like a little bit like if you're gonna rob someone's house, you know. You can like, I don't know, you dress as like a Jehovah's Witness or whatever, and you ding on all the doorbells, and that way you find somewhere that's empty. But that's your excuse. If anyone answers, you're just like, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're like, no thanks, you know. And then that way you find somewhere that's empty, you can burglarize that. Like, you know, it's like people find these little ways to be disgusting, and I think he's probably creepo. He's probably,
you reckon he's
probably
a creeper?
He's probably just looking for a naked woman,
right?
And he's or man. I'm, you know, don't know, I don't judge. And he saw you there, and maybe that was what he wanted. He wanted like a bald man asleep, and that was his fetish.
Yeah.
And then after that, he went back to room six, suite 606, started jacking off, didn't realize it was someone else's room. They came in
and
there.
And then a lady burst in and said, I've seen something horrendous.
She needed
I
to
need a glass of water. Yeah.
Give me water.
And then, you know, it went out of control. And they got a £200 off on their next Norwegian cruise. God,
200 pounds. Jeez.
I mean, fucking hell.
I mean, why do that? Why not just say here, you
why
can
not
have...
subject yourself to another one of these traumatic
here,
cruises?
Here, have a free cruise. Like, it's probably not that much more than 200 pounds. Like, why?
Why not just fucking give her a refund? Christ.
I think that's stupid when people give, like a monetary amount as compensation when they could just
in
give...
In vouchers.
Yeah. It's like... Oh, here, just have this car or something, you know, like something that doesn't have like an immediately apparent value attached to it sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like 200 pounds, like, I don't know. It just seems like a bit of a kick in the balls, doesn't it? You know, like, it doesn't seem like much.
Kick in the balls.
Some people are into that though.
Some people are. Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's like this one time I was flying, I think I was flying to Bristol, and the airport's like 15 minutes away from my house. It's not far at all. And but there's a lot of fog because where the airport is, it just gets foggy there all the time. So there's lots of delays and cancellations, like specific times of year. And I was flying over to do something. It's at the airport and the flight was delayed. Okay. So the airline was like, oh, yeah, you know, the flight's delayed by like 3 hours or whatever. So go to the customer service desk, collect a voucher. So I go to the desk and collect the voucher. And it was like it was so specific. You had to spend it at, you had to use it at this one place and it was worth £5. I was like, what the fuck am I going to get with that? Like, it's.
That was like, I was exactly.
I wish
the same,
you just
like
didn't
had...
give me anything. Like, I'm angry now.
They were like, I went to there's a hotel and they gave me like, they were like, oh, sorry, we haven't got your room ready or whatever, blah, blah, blah. We'll give you a free drinks voucher. And if you come back in like 2 hours or whatever. So I just left my luggage there and I went to wander around town. I came back anyway, got into the room. And then later I went down to the bar to spend this free fucking drinks voucher. And it was like, you can have either a bottle of, like Beck's,
yeah,
or a shot of Bailey's, or like a Disaronno and Coke. I mean, it was so specific.
And they're so,
I was like,
and they're so anal about it too, right? Like, there's no leeway there. If you present like, that voucher, it's like it has to be for this one thing. Like, you couldn't possibly get like.
Can I have the bottle of Beck's in a glass? They're like, no.
Yeah,
no.
For fuck's sake! I mean, oh, it's crazy.
You have to drink it out of the bottle. It's like, but why? It's so annoying. But I'm the sort of same way with certain stuff like on a menu of a restaurant. Well, sometimes like you want to ask like for a small adjustment, but you're a bit scared to do that. It's like, could you possibly like maybe do this without the egg on it? And they're like, No, we can't do that. We have to put the egg on top.
I love when you say like, oh, can you make sure that there's can you ask like the chef to see if there's nuts in this or whatever? And like when they come back, the answer is always very like elaborate and tries to sound somewhat technical or whatever, but it always boils down to the same thing, is that the chef doesn't give a fuck about your dietary requirements and has probably just like had a fucking fiesta of nuts all over the kitchen. He's just like, yeah, our chef likes to sprinkle nuts all over the place and prance around like a fairy in the back.
Well, our chef looked at the packet, yeah, and on the microwave.
He just opens it up and it just chucks nuts all over the place. So there could be nuts in this food. It's, oh my God.
Fucking, but oh no, like that's like a common issue. And the other thing is that I found in restaurants is that if you want to order something that's in like a meal deal, okay, it's like, I don't know, it's like the lunch meal deal or whatever, and you're like, you don't want a part of it. It's like, can I get the thing off the meal deal, but I don't want the like there's the free dessert or whatever.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh no, you have to have that. It's like in the meal deal, and I'm like, well, but can I just have that with like, but not the free dessert. And they're like, no, we'll bring you the dessert for free. And I'm like, no, but I don't want it. And they're like, well, okay, but you're not going to be able to have the lunch, the burger.
I think
then.
You offer to sell it back to them at twice the price.
It's like at the grocery store when they do 2-for-1 as well. How about just 1 for half price? Because like, I don't need a million toilet paper rolls. Like, I just want one normal sized box of toilet paper or whatever. Instead of 2-for-1, just give me one for half price. They never do it, though.
No.
I like that. It's not as catchy as it 1-for-half.
Yeah,
there used to be a book, it might have become a website, I can't remember, saying that you can actually haggle. Like, it's in, within the law to haggle in a shop.
Well, it's like a cultural thing, isn't it? Certain cultures, like love to haggle, and they can't stop. Yeah. Like, I remember I would always go, my friend's dad would always, when we were in Dixon's or whatever, buying like a fucking mini disc player, he would always haggle. And it always fucking worked.
Oh, man.
As well. Like, every time. Like, he was like, yeah, I got, managed to like fucking get 20 quid off this.
Every time. Okay. Every time I've tried to haggle, it's never worked. Okay. And a big reason why it never works is because for some reason, I'm always with my wife when I attempt to haggle. Okay. And she gets all excited, like, because it's a novelty, right? Because we don't haggle ever.
Oh, you're such an exciting man.
So I go in.
It's like, oh my God.
I go in for a heavy haggle, okay? And then, so he's like, seven rupees. And I'm like, 5 rupees. And he's like, no. And then my wife's like, 650. Like, she gets all excited. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't. You can't just butt in on the haggle. I'm working the angles here. And it always gets wrecked. Cause the guy knows he's won at that point. Cause he sees my wife is like really excited at the novelty of haggling. And then he's just like, dad, I've got this guy. 7 rupees. Ah, fuck. Fuck, he's standing hard. He's not going to back down now. He knows what we're all about. So, like, every time has been ruined.
So I used to watch a lot of Bargain Hunt and Antiques Roadshow and all these things. Whenever they're at the car boot sales, they always have to haggle, right? They always have to try and get the shit as cheap as possible to, like, sell it. So not Antiques Roadshow, obviously Bargain Hunt, where they have to buy stuff at a shitty car boot and sell it on auction, and they almost always haggle with the store owners. And the best place to start is actually at half the price and to appear like you don't really want it. And it's like,
well, that's it, yeah.
It's like a casual offer. It's like £10, give you 5 for it. You know, kind of like a really,
I think the thing with haggling is that you're haggling for something that you don't really want anyway. So you go in really low, but then you're more than willing to walk away because you don't really want it anyway. It's just the thrill of getting something for super cheap.
But that's the thing. Like, I think the thing is, like, if you actually wanted something, and imagine there was like a painting or something, I feel like incredibly, like, I'd be super rude if I offered someone like, oh, I'd give you 50 quid for it. It feels super rude to do that.
Well, I mean, I think it's super rude for them to charge the prices that they do for some of that shit anyway, like, in the first place. So there's a counterpoint to that. Because, like, you smearing your diarrhea on a canvas and then saying it's worth, £1,000. No, it's not. It's worth nothing. It's worth minus £1,000, okay?
Those vomit enthusiasts pay good money for my paintings.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, some of that shit is just like, it's kind of like the people on The Apprentice. You know, they emulate successful people, right? And I find some artists are like that as well. They try to emulate people that have had successes with, like, you know, a style of art or whatever. And you just think to yourself, okay, well, this isn't actually any good at all. Like, I mean, I'm not an art critic or whatever. But sometimes you see these people on TV and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, just go work in an office or whatever. You suck at art, like, big time. Wow. Nobody will buy this.
It's their dream. Know?
You're just pretending to be a good artist, but you're not actually a good artist. You know what I mean?
Fake it till you make it, sis.
You know what I mean, though?
Fake it till you make it.
Do you guys recognize these people as well? Have you seen these people, like, on TV and stuff
before? Yeah, all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hold on. What?
He's barfing.
No, I didn't, sweetie.
Oh, he's got...
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, his daughter's sick.
My daughter's downstairs.
Is she all right?
No, she's okay. She's chill. She all just right. thought I'd said her name, but I think I just laughed.
So, sorry, imagine, like, you're in a car boot sale and you're buying, like, a vase, okay? Like, and it's obviously, like, a specific price and that they have a market value for them. I think everything, like, certain things are okay to, like, kind of try and get some money off of without it being rude. But I think you just have to be willing to be rude to people. I don't think a lot of people in a lot of cultures are comfortable with that. Like kind of in Japan or something, it's very... I don't think that people were particularly haggly.
Yeah.
And because everyone's so polite with everyone. And also you don't tip even, because that's even considered a bit kind of impolite in a weird way, which is bizarre.
Well, it's kind of weird because the whole exchange of money in Japan is such a formal thing as well, right? There's not really there doesn't seem to be an opportunity for you to just tip on top of bowing and receiving the money on the plate and giving the change back on the plate and bowing again and stuff. Like, where at what point do you just say, like, oh, here's an extra here's a bit extra, whatever. Like, it'd be kind of awkward, right?
There was a thing where I was at some sort of a place in London, and I tried, like, there was like a coat check place, and I checked my jacket or whatever, my bag and stuff, and all this other stuff. And it had been a right faff because I'd left a load of stuff there, because I think I was passing through London with loads of luggage. Anyway, when I picked it all up later, I left a tip. I was like, oh, here's a fiver. And he was like, I don't want that. And I'm like, but it's like a tip. And he's like, well, I'm not taking it. And I
was
like, all right. Okay. So I didn't want to offend you. I just thought it was like a thing that you
just
did.
Just crumple it up and throw it in the garbage. Jeez.
I should have haggled him down. 250. I'll give you 250. So no, I don't want anything. Go on. I'll give you tenner. Give you tenner. I'll go it up.
£1 coin.
So, would you take 20? Would you take a 20?
Do you guys ever tip? Like, I get groceries delivered to the house because I'm a lazy fucker and it's easier to shop online, honestly. The guy comes with all the carrier bags, he hands them over, he says, any carrier bags to go back? And I say, not this time, because we either reuse them or I gave them away last time or whatever.
But here's a 10.
And then he stands there for a second and I'm like, thanks. And he's like, have a nice evening, and off he goes. And I'm like, do people tip the shopping delivery guys? Because I don't tip anybody unless it's in a restaurant, right? That's where,
honestly, I think
tip.
What happened there is fine. You know, like, I think, you know, a momentary pause because he thinks he might have a chance to get one, but then you're not willing to give him one.
I don't even know if it's a thing.
I think that's perfectly acceptable.
I am constantly hit by these moments in everyday life of people thinking, do I have to tip them? Especially when I'm in America. Because I'm never
sure. Well,
you're
meant to tip everybody in America.
Are always off.
They have a very tipping culture there, right?
Yeah, they do. But it's also, as far as I understand it, they include tips, right?
In Canada, it's less so. I don't think you're necessarily helping somebody sell. I think in Canada, I think they have to pay people properly and have them rely on tips. But it's just the nature of Canadians to tip anyway, like, for everything, and be apologetic about it too. So but in America, yeah, it's definitely like they're not getting paid that much.
Yeah.
So they need the tips.
I don't know if that's a myth or not, but as far as I understood it, they included the average amount you would expect to get in tips in to your salary, which is fucking bullshit, by the way. Like,
it is ridiculous.
I'm not even sure if it's true.
I used to work at, my first job was at a grocery store, and I used to pack groceries, which I don't even know if that job exists anymore.
No.
I can't remember the last time I went into a grocery store and somebody packed your bags for you.
I feel like the only people who are doing that are ex-cons.
Or people that have some kind of learning difficulty. You sometimes see them.
Guilty also on both counts, but I was like 15, and it was just the way that this place worked, right? There was like the cashiers, and then for every cashier, there was like a, you know, guy who like packed the groceries, and we had to like help people out to the car. And then if it wasn't too busy, we had to just like, you know, clean up the store and collect carts out of the parking lot and all that kind of, there's all these like little jobs and stuff. But they were always super like, okay, you can't accept any tips, but they never explained why. They're just like, what the fuck? Like, we can't accept any tips. They're like, no, you just can't, you're not supposed to accept any tips from anybody. It's like, okay. But like, we fucking did all the time.
Yeah.
Because it was awkward. You'd help a lady out to her car with like, you know, $500 worth of groceries. Like, you know, that's the culture over there. You buy like, you go grocery shopping like once a month, and you fill up your bomb shelter with fucking industrial sized ketchups and stuff like that. So I helped this lady out to her car. I unloaded all. It takes like half an hour because she bought so much stuff. And then I was like, all right, well, there you go. See you later. And she's like, oh, here, this is for you. And she gave me like $5. I was like, oh, sorry. I'm not allowed to accept this tip. Like, you know, she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just take the money. I was like, all right. So I just,
do you know what? I think it just upsets everyone if you don't.
I guess so.
And
yeah. Like, I felt like really awkward saying it as well. Cause I was like, yeah, sure. $5. I'll take it. Like, I was a 15-year-old kid at the time. Like,
but maybe you just take it and put it in a charity fucking box if you feel bad about it or whatever.
Hell no.
Like,
I bought so many cheese buns on my break with that money. It was crazy.
It's a thing, like, actually, that they do have at restaurants now. When you pay the bill, they always say that, like, you can tip in the on with your card. And I'm always a little bit, things I don't ever have like a lot of cash in my wallet, so as much as I want to, like, I obviously want to tip, but I don't necessarily trust like putting it on the card. But then sometimes you go to a place and they don't have it on the card machine and you're like, oh, now I don't have any cash either, so am I not tipping now? And then like other times, like you'll go somewhere where they've done like a Pret a Manger or like a fucking Yo Sushi or something, and it's like, do you want a tip for your sandwich or your like fucking thing that, you know, you got off the belt? Like, no one fucking, who am I tipping here? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, but part of me feels like always wants to, it's like clicking past that button, do you want a tip? No, makes you feel like,
I wonder what they'd say if they turned up with the bill and you were like, no, this doesn't work for me, how about £20? Sir, the bill is £480. Well, I start low, we'll find a place in the middle. I will include a tip of £2.
I'm kind of glad that haggling is not a thing.
Yeah,
like,
fuck it.
I find it a chore to be out of my house enough in the first place, let alone having to like have long drawn out social interactions with people over like, you know, $5 or whatever. Like, you know what I'm a real big fan of, actually? I love eating at pubs. I love ordering and paying and then sitting down, eating, and then just going when I'm ready. You know what I mean?
That is actually really nice. Yeah.
That is my favorite interaction for food outside of my house. I love that. I love
the standard way of doing it in Japan is that when you pay for your when you order, you finish a meal, and then you stand up and you actually, like, as you're leaving, you pay. So it's like you pay it like a little till by the door.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. But definitely my favorite is paying. I mean, it kind of sucks sometimes because you pay before you eat, and if you eat and it tastes like crap, you're like, oh, should I pay for this or whatever? But like,
but how are you ever gonna not pay for it afterwards? Like, how many times have you eaten crap food and then gone, I'm not paying for this?
I've never gone to a restaurant and complained that the food is bad or anything, like, because you just sort of write it off,
right? I've
never
complained.
Like, oh, this tastes like shit, let's go. Like, I'm not gonna fucking stand around and complain about it or try to get money back or whatever, because what's, you know, time is money, friends. Oh, God.
Exactly.
Damn.
Fucking, I don't know. We don't know. Are we socially inept?
I definitely am.
So what's the culture like in China when all these Dota nerds go over there and, you know, have to eat KFC for 3 meals a day? I mean, are they complaining about that or are they just getting on with it? I mean, are they playing in these games from hospital?
Man, they're getting sick in the hospital. Flax told us already. It's, yeah. The situation is dire, it sounds like.
It is bad.
Not radiant.
We need to send them some fucking vegetables. Let's pack
them
up.
Send them some fucking milkshakes and
send them a bag of like microwavable lasagnas and just frozen fucking pizzas.
Yeah,
Hot Pockets. Get that out there. Save the fucking Dota players, guys. Jesus. Those Krispy Kremes and
I love that. I love that when people travel from like places like America and stuff, they're like, no, this food is no good. and it's right. Yeah, you're right. They're probably just eating fucking pizza pockets like 24/7 at home. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. People are very quick, especially to judge British food. They're like, Britain, oh God, the food's garbage. That's like maybe 30 years ago that was the case, but it drives me up the wall. You can get anything you want in London now. It's amazing. There's loads of good places to eat.
Anything you want.
There's a Pizza Hut in Chongqing. Right.
Here's the problem. It's a city of like 20 million people, all right? It may be in the middle of nowhere in China, but the middle of nowhere in China is still, there's probably God knows how many millions of people living in the area, and then the city is something like 20 million people. So it's unbelievable. It's big. It's twice the size, over twice the size of London. So although you think
the Pizza Hut has like one star,
it has one star.
Will not subject myself to this
probably
again.
Probably like this food was so bland. I actually was offended. Where the spice at? That's pretty much all the reviews, I guess. But yeah, they're just, it's, you know, you either eat the local food or you're fucked. That's pretty much how it is in China.
Man.
Which is fair enough. They've got 1 billion potential customers. They don't have got a cater to you.
I'm kind of sad you're not there reporting back.
I'm so glad I'm not there.
I want you to be like just in a hospital eating KFC, being like so fucking miserable.
Thank you.
I just want that so bad.
You fucking arsehole. Why would you wish that on me? You want it. You want it for the story. That's all you want. I want you to go out there and have a terrible time, Pyrion, so you can tell us about this terrible time.
I love hearing about you having a miserable time.
Lewis loves all that. Like, we almost get like pep talks before we do stuff from Lewis. Sometimes he's like, "Okay, guys, try to have a really bad time so we have stuff to talk about." Triforce podcast. Evil. Like, try to fuck something up on purpose so it'll sound funny when we talk about it on the Triforce podcast and stuff like that. He's very
mean.
Yeah,
I love you.
He's spirited. Yeah,
he's driven, and he drives us to do better and be better through suffering.
So I got you these two tickets on the Norwegian cruise line. Yeah. You're sharing a room.
Wonderful.
Cabin
606. The scene of the crime. We're going to hopefully somebody else will be in there fucking when you turn up. So we'll have something new to talk about on the Triforce podcast next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, enjoy your cruise. Try not to get the shits too much and barfs.
And always haggle.
Always haggle.
Always haggle.
Always haggle, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye.